Welcome to the City Club of Eugene June 1st program, A Look at STAR Voting, which stands for Score, Then Automatic Runoff. This is the 33rd program of our 2018-2019 programming year. I am the City Club President. Are we current or what? Did you see today's paper? Proposal alters county voting. And then there is an article about, I like to think it's about today's program. Some say it's about the proposal itself. I like to think it's about the program. In my first major disappointment of being president, I tried to get Mark to give an Akimoto to everyone, but was unsuccessful. I wanted to play there's one for you, and there's one for you, and there's one for you. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, and our diamond sponsor, Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente exists to provide high-quality, affordable health care, services to improve the health of our members and communities that they serve. More information at www.kp.org. The coordinator for today's program is Randy Prince, and Randy will introduce the program.
Score the candidates, then an automatic runoff. That's the essence of the Lane County petition that would change how we elect officials for county offices. The petitioners call it STAR voting, S-T-A-R, and they're working to put the measure on the general election ballot this year. Currently, the system for our nonpartisan county elections is plurality-based in the May primary, and the top two advance to a November runoff. The alternative approach laid out in the petition would have voters cast their ballots just once in the November general election, but give more input about than just who they like best. Voters would rate the candidates, score them, according to how much they approve of them, for example, with a score between 1 and 5. Election officials would tally up all the scores, and a winner would be declared. Now, this kind of instant runoff voting, or instant runoff voting in general, has faced some challenges even after voters approved a change. In Maine, some questioned whether their new ranked choice voting aligns with language in that state's constitution. The mechanics of conducting the instant runoff have also been an issue. And in Benton County, Oregon, a ranked choice measure adopted there was limited to partisan races and the general election only, preserving the May primary. But most active multi-candidate races occur in the May primaries and aren't affected up there this year. However, the STAR voting measure for Lane County would impact the county commissioner races here that often draw 3 or more candidates. Let me just, the petitioners will give you all the nuts and bolts of it. I'm going to spend a little bit more time introducing the petitioners here. Mark Frohmeyer is one of the chief petitioners for STAR voting in Lane County. His name is a familiar one. He grew up in a political family, but rather than running for office himself, for the last 5 years, he's focused his efforts on reforming the process by which we choose our office holders. This after his father, Dave Frohmeyer's 1990 campaign for governor experienced a negative outcome in a four-way race that saw the winner take office with 45% of the vote. His uncle, John Frohmeyer, served as chair of the National Endowment of Arts in a Republican administration, but also faced opposition from cultural conservatives and was forced out. And then when John entered the race for U.S. Senate in 2008 on the Independent Party ticket, the plurality rules electoral system proved too difficult for a candidate outside the two major parties, and he withdrew early. Well, Mark, the Frohmeyer in front of us today, advanced the idea of a unified primary election in 2013, a reform that drew supporters, but evolved into a somewhat different measure for a top two system, similar to that used in Washington and Oregon. Today's STAR voting proposal for Lane County more closely reflects his views and the feedback he's received in his campaign for election reform. And Mark also has an interest in mitigating climate change and transportation. He served on the Oregon Transportation Commission and is president of Arcimoto, the local electric vehicle manufacturer. The other chief petitioner for STAR voting is here today, Alan Zundel. A relative newcomer to Oregon, he's an experienced political scientist. Prior to moving to Eugene a dozen years ago, he was tenured as an associate professor of public policy studies at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He now works part-time as a licensed professional counselor and enjoys his post-academic life in Lane County, but the rest of his time, Alan ran for Secretary of State in Oregon in 2016 on the Pacific Green Party ticket. His campaign fell considerably short of victory, drawing just 47,000 votes, but he won considerable respect for his effort. And in 2017, Secretary of State Dennis Richardson, his former opponent, appointed him administrator of the state's Fair Redistricting Task Force. After we hear from those two who are going to work as a team up here, we're going to hear a response to this star voting proposal from Robin Quirk. Robin's an associate researcher at Policy Interactive, a Eugene-based nonpartisan interdisciplinary team of researchers that work to understand public opinion. Alternative voting systems is a topic of special interest to Robin and one of the issues she's had the opportunity to work on as a researcher. Alan and Mark, come on up.
We flipped a coin. Alan's going to go first.
Okay.
Actually, we were fighting about who gets to speak, and Randy told us we had to stand here together like this. So thank you to City Club for having us, and thank you all for being here. And actually, that article in the paper was inspired by the City Club program today. So thank you, Randy, for helping get this program together, because that gave us extra boost in publicity, which is always helpful when you're running a campaign like this. Okay. I wanted to start off by further explicating the system we have now in place for electing county officials, because although I know, I look around, I see a lot of faces, you're all very politically sophisticated. This is going to be recorded, and there'll be some people listening who may have some questions about that. Because I found when I'm out collecting signatures on our petitions, every so often somebody will say, oh, I don't like that idea, without even having heard what the idea is about. And if I have the opportunity to ask them questions, what I've often found out is that they think we're promoting a top two system like they have in California, and which is receiving some criticisms. I have to explain to them that actually right now for county elections, we have a top two system which is almost identical with the one they have in California that they're complaining about. At that point, a light bulb goes up and they're more willing to listen to what we have to say. So, for the sake of everybody who may have any sense of confusion about that, and correct me if I'm wrong on the details because I can be as well, but we have a May primary for county offices, and this primarily affects the county commissioners. Those are the big races. In the primary, if one of the candidates gets more than half the votes, that is the only candidate that appears on the ballot in November. So all the extra voters who come out in November who didn't turn up for the primary in May have only one candidate on the ballot to choose from. Very hard choice in some cases. If there's not a candidate who receives more than half the votes in the primary, the top two advance to the general election, which means that if there's a number of candidates and they split the votes among them, the top two can be candidates who had a fairly minimal number of votes from the total voting population. So it's hard to tell if one of the other candidates who didn't get into the top two might have been preferred by all the other voters who split their votes among other candidates. Very hard to tell if the ones that emerge would be the ones that would be most popular among those voters in the primary, let alone in the November election. So you have a primary, and then in November, only one or two candidates on the ballot, and the voters come and they choose from them. So Mark is now going to have the opportunity to speak and explain star voting to you.
Yeah. In essence, the system that we use now is sort of widely regarded in the election science world as the worst way to make a collective decision, right? If you have a choice of many options, four or five or six options, and you have a group of people that are making that selection, then only affording one choice to every single person in that group, taking your one favorite, like Alan was saying, can produce, you could have two people go on, who both of whom comprise less than a majority of the populace between them. And then those become the two you have to choose between. What star voting does is it really collapses that process into just one choice, but it gives you dramatically more expression. So instead of being limited to one, you're picking your one favorite candidate on the ballot, you actually get to rate, give a level of support to whichever candidates you want, from zero, which means no support, up to five, which is the maximum support for that candidate. It means that if there are similar candidates on the ballot, there's no more vote splitting. So you can have two candidates running that come from very similar political viewpoints, and they're not going to divide their voters between them. The cool thing about STAR, what STAR adds is that AR, the automatic runoff step. So instead of just saying whoever gets the most, whoever has the highest average score total wins, STAR actually advances the two highest scoring candidates to an automatic runoff. And your vote in the automatic runoff goes to whichever of those two you gave a higher score. Because if you're looking at just sort of plain old score voting, you might be tended, you might have the tendency to say, oh, well, I'm just going to only support my one favorite candidate in order to have the maximum advantage for that candidate. Or you might say, I'm going to vote top score for all the people on my side and zero for everybody on the other side. In STAR, there's this, that what the automatic runoff does fundamentally is it gives you a reason to express a difference of scores when you have a difference of opinion about the candidates in the mix. So you can say, well, I'm going to give my favorite candidate a five, but you know, Alan is great, and I'm going to give him a four on that race too. So that if it's Alan and my favorite in the runoff, well, then my full vote is going to go to my favorite candidate. But if Alan goes up against anybody else in the runoff, then my full vote's going to go to Alan. It really lets you, it lets you have just a ton of expression on every candidate on the ballot, no matter how many candidates are in play. The system that we have today really only works when there are, where you're limited to one choice. That only works effectively when there are just two candidates, at most two candidates. Anytime there are more than two candidates, it breaks in some pretty horrible ways. Breaks in the sense that it can produce a result that doesn't reflect the will of the electorate. So really, what we did in the introduction, of course, I got my first introduction to the spoiler effect when I was 16 and my dad ran for governor, and then I got reintroduced to it in 2000 in the presidential race. I mean, it's something that we actually see happen all the time in our political system on both sides of the political spectrum. It is used, that feature is used to game elections. So interest groups can say, well, we're going to put up a candidate that's going to, we don't have enough to win, but we have enough to make you lose. And we've seen that, you know, particularly the fracturing of the political spectrum over the last 30 years, this has been a tool that has really created in large part that fracturing. You can have the primarying of in primary elections of moderate candidates. And so the goal of STAR is really to let all the voters equally make the choice, give everyone plenty of expression, to use a simple five-score rating system. We use it on our apps. We see it in the Olympics. Scoring is this sort of ubiquitous notion. And to have a system that's very easy to count. So where there are other alternative voting methods that often can require one round of counting per candidate in the race. So if you had 20 candidates, you could actually have 20 rounds of counting. In this, there are always two rounds. There's the score, and then there's the automatic runoff. The results are very transparent, and it was actually, it's a new system. So it was invented here in Lane County. It was kind of a very unlikely byproduct of the election reform campaign that happened in 2014, and this is our first time to actually try it in real political offices. And I guess the one thing I would add is that we just did our May primary, and in East Lane County, we now have a runoff, right? So those candidates, they went door to door in the rain and in the cold, and now they're going to need to go door to door again for the next 6 months. They're going to need to call all their donors again, say, hey, would you donate again? It's just crazy. That's a crazy way to do it. It asks the voters to answer the same question twice. It asks the candidates to run for the same job twice. It asks donors to give twice as much money. And it severely limits our choices, and it limits the ability for other candidates to jump into the fort. So that's kind of the broad story of STAR voting. Alan, is there anything more you want to add there?
Yeah, just a couple of things. First of all, I'm left standing here wondering why I didn't rate a 5 instead of a 4 for that ballot.
You would have tied 5-5. I just wanted to give an example. It was a bad example. I'd given you a 5, and then... But it's a good thing. If I'd given you a 5 and my other favorite a 5, and both of them made it to that automatic runoff, well, then I win either way. So if you give both runoff candidates the same score, then you're essentially voting no preference in that automatic runoff if those two are the finalists.
Okay, we'll talk about my score later. want to make sure this is clear so it doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't help. It doesn't hurt to give repetition. There's no primary. You vote once in November, and the computer tabulator looks for two things on your ballots. It looks for, number one, which two candidates got the highest overall score. That shows they have broad support and high support from a lot of voters. And then it looks at, of those two candidates, which one was scored higher more often. So each ballot counts in both phases of the process. All your preferences that you've given on your ballot make some difference in the outcome, and the system is fairly simple. Now, the usual complaint we get from people, when I'm gathering signatures, people say, well, it sounds complicated, okay? But I want to emphasize two things about this. Number one, you don't have to score every candidate. There'll likely be candidates that you have no information about, you haven't heard anything about, they aren't even able or willing to get a statement in the voter's pamphlet. With candidates like that, you can just safely ignore them. They automatically get a 0. So if you like to keep things simple and just do things the way you've always done, you just pick the one candidate you like most, give them a 5, ignore everybody else, they get a 0. That's fine. But if you have opinions of more than one candidate, and especially if you feel torn between choosing one, when you have a dilemma like, well, gee, I like this one a lot, but I like that one almost as much, or I like these two equally, or I like that one, but I'm afraid this one will win if I don't vote for that one, you're able to make distinctions like that on your ballot. I give a 5 to the one I really like the most, I give a 0 to the one I like the least, and I just arrange the rest in order of preference and distance between those two. So, other than that, do I have anything to add? Well, getting rid of the primary adds a lot of advantages in itself. It's less wear and tear on the voters' eyeballs when they're watching television because you don't have so many commercials early on. And for candidates that don't have a lot of money or name recognition, they'll have an easier time getting attention because they don't have to spend their time before the primary way back in the winter trying to get attention, trying to get voters to listen to them, trying to raise money. And even if they're successful in raising enough money, they still have to spend it to get through the primary. If they're lucky enough to get through the primary, they have to start the process all over again. So by having a shorter campaign season, it's easier on the voters, it's easier on candidates, it's more fair to everybody, and the outcome should be somebody who has broad support from the voters.
Yeah, and I mean, just to think about that grassroots candidate, you know, if you are, if who here has canvassed door to door? Anybody gone door to door? Which months do you prefer going door to door in? January, February, or July, August, September? I mean, really, if you're talking about a true grassroots candidate, the real advantage is that you get to campaign when people are outside. They're not like, I would open my door, but it's cold. I don't want to let all the heat out. Or they'll be mowing the lawn. And you can participate in the county fair. All these events that right now, the county elections are over, by and large. We only have one that's going to be a county election in November. So all the other ones, they just got decided. If you're a true grassroots candidate and you want to go out and connect with the people, you can't. It's much harder to do that in the winter and early spring than it is in the summer and early fall. And so that's we see a huge advantage in terms of the participatory effect that this will have on both candidates and voters. Having the more representative, larger electorate that turns out at the general election being the one that makes the choice. And I guess the last thing I would add is just that this is an effort of a group. We call ourselves the Equal Vote Coalition. Our website's equal.vote. And this, to us, fundamentally gets back to the principle of one person, one vote. The idea of one person, one vote is that all of our votes are supposed to carry equal weight. And vote splitting, where you have close together candidates that divide voters, what that fundamentally represents to us is an inequality in the vote. Because if you like two candidates and I like just one, I have effectively twice the voting power that you do. Because everyone who thinks like you will split their votes, and everyone who thinks like me will concentrate our votes. In star voting, that's fixed no matter how many candidates you have on the ballot. So I think we have hit our 15. Yes. Fill the content. All right.
And to get us warmed up for all of your questions, we're going to hear from Robin Quirk from Policy Interactive. She is not part of the campaign, but has studied the issue.
Hi, so I'm Robin Quirk. I work with Tom Bowerman at Policy Interactive. And actually, in listening to you guys talk, I realized I think it's because Tom spoke with you some years ago that Tom came to me and said, okay, I heard about this alternative voting system thing. I want you to dig into it. So if there's a policy reform issue that piques our interest, the first thing we do, and what I'm going to talk about with you all today, is the first thing we do is we dig deep, we research, we go further than just promotional websites. We go to Google Scholar, we dig into the U of O access to different journals. We really dig deep. And then we run sort of a pilot test on something called Mechanical Turk. It's a national online warm bodies that will take surveys for a cheap amount of money, not too expensive, to kind of test, because the way those demographics sort of skew, it kind of actually is pretty close to Oregon demographics. So we'll pilot and we'll see how the nation feels. And if we get a decent hit, then we'll spend the big bucks and check in with Oregon voters. So after Tom spoke with Mark, we decided to answer two questions. Number one, do alternative voting systems really lead to different winners? And then number two, which of the commonly championed alternative voting systems do voters prefer? And then thirdly, I'm going to conclude with just kind of, if I have time, how much time do I have? Okay, just how we can use research to sort of inform where we go with alternative voting systems, because we clearly have a terrible system. So to answer the first question, and they say a PowerPoint is worth 1,000 words, I'm going to try to explain our data, our results to you without that. So do winners vary when an alternative voting system is used? So what we did was every person was given 4 mock ballots that mimicked the 2016 presidential primaries. So if a person was a registered Republican, they would only get Republican candidates. And first they would get the current voting system, I'm just going to call it the current because there are a lot of labels to remember. The current voting system. Next, something called approval voting, which looks the same, but you can pick as many people as you want with equal weight. Third, score voting. We mostly use 0 to 9 because somebody, we know a PhD from Princeton, he thinks 0 to 9 is the best. But anyway, most of them were 0 to 9, but we did also test 0 to 5. And then lastly, we tested ranked choice voting. So if you were a survey respondent, you would get to vote on the Republican candidates with each of those ballot types. Same with Democrats, but the way it's skewed with that sample population, every single voting style and every single time we did mock, we tested this, which was probably about 7 times, Bernie Sanders always won. So there's nothing interesting to share with you. So we're going to look at, I'm going to talk about the Republicans. So in July of 2015, there were a lot of Republican candidates. We chose the 10 most commonly liked ones, most popular ones. So Rand Paul won with all 4 voting systems the first time we did it. In January 2016, we did it again, and Trump won both with the current voting system and approval voting, where you can pick as many as you want. Rubio won with score voting, 0 to 9, and Rubio also won with ranked choice voting. And then in March 2016, Trump only won with the current voting system. Cruz won with both, where you could pick as many as you wanted, and with a 0 to 9 score scale. And then Rubio won with ranked choice voting. So we found that sometimes it can affect the winners, okay? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And then, let's see, I don't have time for that. Okay, so next I'm going to go ahead and jump to which voting systems do voters prefer. So most of our mock ballots, the tests that we did, were with a 0 to 9 scale. And as Mark and Alan rightly pointed out, it's not really fair to assess voters' opinions on a 0 to 9 when they're promoting a 0 to 5. There's more of a cognitive load, obviously, you'd think, if you have to choose between 0 to 9. So I'm just going to talk about the results for the 0 to 5 in detail. But I would just like to say the general results were that we would ask people, do you think that we should revamp our current voting system? And we got a majority of support. And we actually went into this thinking, yay, people are just going to love these alternative voting systems. It'll be so interesting to see which one they prefer. Well, we tended to get about 65% saying, yes, we need to revamp, which honestly is not that great. When we want to bring something to the voters and we're doing a public opinion survey, we want to see 75% support. And then maybe there's a hope of getting it passed. It's really hard to pass things, you know. So, but we kept seeing as, so we saw this majority support, but then when they were given the different alternative voting systems, it was really lukewarm. All three alternative voting systems kind of hung down below. So every time they still continued to prefer plurality voting system, which is the current voting system, which is interesting because if you look at Australia where they use ranked choice voting, they want to go to what we use now, you know. So that's another thing, is Canada was really jazzed about changing the voting system until the candidate they wanted won, and now it's not really a big deal anymore, you know. So you have to look at, there are a lot of things to look at and to consider. So so I guess what I would say is, how, in conclusion, how can we use research to help advise how we want to reform our voting system? First of all, we did find that depending on which system is used, it can affect who's going to win. So we really have to think clearly and really check your sources. Ranked choice voting is my least favorite. And there, you know, Sightline might have a news story and they'll have a hyperlink with a source, but the source goes to FairVote. That's not a source. A source is real research. And so I'd say when you are looking into these, to really be careful who's behind it, because there is this circular, you know, get someone from the outside. I also like to see what people's degrees are in. I only have a master's degree. I like to check with the PhDs in mathematics just to see what they think. Secondly, getting support for an alternative voting system is probably sort of an uphill battle. I'm not against it, but we did decide not to spend the big bucks to check in with Oregonians. I think it's great to test it, though. Approval voting is going to be tested in Fargo. I like approval voting, and I like score voting. Those are my two favorites. I would consider a no opinion option. It's a lot to ask for people to have to read the instructions really carefully, and we did test 0 to 9 without no opinion and 0 to 9 with no opinion, and it changed the results. So I think it makes it easier and it makes it very, very clear. And that no opinion would mean a 0, and it would be clear, they can see that's what it means if they want to read the details. But we have to think about cognitive load. How hard is it? Voting is tiring, especially if you're a Republican in the primaries. Also, I'm a little wary of the instant runoff aspect. I'm not a mathematician. My PhD that I like to check in with, he does not like it, but I can't defend it because I'm not smart enough. But I'm a little wary of that, and I don't see how that is transparent. I think it's confusing, and I think that most of us are intelligent people, but when I do explain star voting, and not that I'm, you know, as in it as you are, it is a little confusing. And so I think we really have to think about, if we're going to be selling an alternative voting system to people, we have to be very careful. Exit polls in San Francisco found that ranked choice voting marginalized some groups of people. You have to look at, who are you testing this on? Do you have any people where English isn't their first language? Do you have people that have less formal education? Because guess who like ranked choice voting the most? Young people with more formal education. So you have to dig deep to make sure that people that normally get left out of political processes are involved in these decisions. And then lastly, I would say, if score voting were used, to go with averages instead of the total, I think it's more informative to say somebody got a 2.6 out of 0 through 5 instead of they got 17,532. You know, I don't really think that expresses much. I have lots of data on our website at policyinteractive.org, or you could email us at info@policyinteractive.org. I love to talk about this stuff. I love to share data. Because of this, I actually dug even more into some of the work that we had done, the pilots we had done. So I'm going to have fresh stuff up there. So anyway, thank you.
If you liked Robin this week, come back next week, where she will be introducing Tom Bowerman, who is one of the Turtle Award winners. So great presentation by all three of you. Sometime about a week ago, week and a half ago, I finished a City Club meeting at Full City and had some time and walked through the Tuesday Farmers Market and was approached by somebody to sign the petition. And I sort of, no, I'm not interested. And went on and looked at the vegetables and came back and I said, you know, by the way, City Club is having a program on star voting on June 1st. And Alan said, yeah, I know, I'm one of the speakers. So we are going to take a 5-minute break to formulate questions at the tables. When you remember that only City Club members can ask questions, we hope the questions will be short and to the point, and the answers too, so that we can have, I believe there are going to be many questions. So let's take 5. Thank you very much, folks.
You're listening to KLCC, informing and inspiring listeners for more than a half century. Broadcasting in HD at KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1, KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and KLBR Bend. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College.
Welcome back to the June 1st meeting of City Club, a look at star voting. City Club is a nonprofit organization. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, including our diamond sponsor, Kaiser Permanente, our gold sponsors, LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens, Dr. Sandy Ibarra of Hearing Associates, the law firm of Gatos, Chernsight, and Balthrop, Jerry Detelm, architect, landscape architect, and special thanks to a few of our in-kind sponsors, PacInfo and Simplified Computing LLC and KLCC Radio. City Club programs are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 at 6:30 on Monday evenings. Before we go to member questions, please remember to keep your questions short and to the point. Would the speakers come up here? Take a seat, and the questions can be addressed to either one person or all participants. Bob?
Bob Cassidy, City Club member. Alan, will we be having any trouble with the county counting the votes? Do they have the machinery to do this? We were up against this with instant runoff voting in the past.
Yeah, hi, Bob. This is Alan Zundel. Bob and I actually were trying to advance a ranked choice voting proposal some 10 years ago here in Lane County. Since I was introduced to star voting, I've come to see star voting as a superior system. But as to the question, at that time they did not have computers to tabulate the votes that were able to be reprogrammed to handle ranked choice voting. Since then, new generations of computer tabulators for votes have been introduced, and we have one in Lane County. It's not right now ready to do that, but you would only have to reprogram the algorithm in the counting system. So yeah, the machines we have now, I'm not absolutely sure because we haven't asked the vendor, but have a good idea that it will work.
Just to add a little color on that, so I actually did talk to the vendor of Clear Ballot, which is what we use here in Lane County and in Multnomah. And they sent me the cast vote record files of a sample election. And actually, using the same system that we have today, you can run a star voting election with just a simple post-processing script that's about 50 lines of code. I wrote it in an afternoon. And so obviously, that didn't get vetted by the state elections officials and all the rest. but it is truly a trivial modification. And I think distinct from instant runoff voting, because the STAR algorithm is so much simpler for counting. So it's precinct summable, so it sort of fits within the existing process that we have for elections.
Margaret Gardner, I'm a new member of the City Club. My question is, does anyone know if initially there'll be a drop in voter turnout or returned ballots as a result of perhaps confusion, indifference?
I guess the only thought I have with that is that I've had a number of people say to me, if you actually get this implemented, I'll start voting again, because the way we vote now is so broken. And you know, even when it comes to people, so things like the exit polls for ranked choice voting, if you actually go and look at those studies, they use score voting. They use a score to say, how well did you understand this system? So at the end of the day, there's this understanding that scoring 0 to 5, 0 to 2, 0 to 3, I mean, you first experience it when you're in grade school. Then you see it when you're watching the Olympics. Then it's in every single app on your phone or Amazon product review. Scoring is this very well understood concept from what we have come across. And the hope is that by getting rid of that lesser evil effect and diminished candidate participation, that we would actually see a big voter turnout increase as a result.
Karen Seidel, City Club member. Why is the STAR voting petition limited to county commissioner races? Why not include city councilor races as well?
Well, the main reason you'd need two separate initiatives to do it for city elections and for county elections. And we thought it simpler just to start with a set of offices, since it's an unfamiliar system. Let people think about using it in that before we try to move to other offices. So it made it easier for us to get an initiative started and proposed, and probably to pass it as well.
Can I ask a follow-up to that? Do you plan to use this in political elections, such as state house, state governor, where the two-party system?
Yeah, that'd be the hope, that we can show it works well here in Lane County and then move on to other elections, depending on how much support or publicity or interest we get. There have to be some adjustments to partisan elections, and we're talking about the best way to do that. But yeah, that would be the intention.
Antonio Lewis, City Club member. I'm asking this on behalf of an attendee who is not a member of the City Club. And you did mention that the STAR voting would practically eliminate the primary process. And so this attendee noted that another advantage would be that since primary turnout is usually low, I think you mentioned that as well, and quite often it's the more extreme people who vote in the primaries, and this would give more of a chance for the middle people to vote who represent the majority of the population. Would you agree with that as an advantage?
Yeah, I would certainly agree that having a more representative, larger electorate be the one to make the choice would be a huge advantage. As your questioner pointed out, primary voters tend to be more polarized and less representative of the overall, because, and what do you, either of you know what percentage now are non-affiliated with either of the two major parties? It's something like 35% of the voters don't identify. It's what's that?
More than Republicans.
Yeah, so more voters now are not affiliated with either of the two major parties than are affiliated with the Republican Party, for example. And it's very close to, you know, like a third on that realm. So basically, a third of the voters, and they get their primary ballots, and they've got a couple of things on them. They don't get to choose on any of the major races, so a lot of them just toss it in the dustbin. If all of a sudden those voters now have a meaningful choice to make because it's happening in November, we would expect that's going to produce, you know, good results, even for our local county elections.
Sandra Bishop, City Club member. This is a little bit of an observation kind of question. More and more astute politicians, whether they're pushing a ballot measure or whether they're running for re-election, sometimes it's occurring more and more that people running for election are oftentimes recruiting, if there's two main people running for an office, they're oftentimes recruiting someone to split the vote. So I guess the real question that comes up in conversation is the star voting the best system to avoid that kind of shenanigans in political races? Or is there, you know, what's the best system for voting where splitting, having that third person come in or having six people run for one position and then you end up not getting the most qualified person? How would you say that STAR is the best system, or is there an even better system to avoid that kind of splitting the votes? Thank you.
That depends on whether you're dealing with single seat elections or multi-seat elections. You can make arguments for different systems depending on what you're looking at, but in my opinion, for single seat elections, that is an election where the constituency is only electing one person to fill one office, this is a superior system. Any kind of preference voting, though, where you get to render opinions on more than one candidate, help to mitigate the spoiler problem in an obvious way is that you don't have to choose, you can pick both. But this gives a little more nuance to that because you can actually say, I like this one this much more, that much less. So this is a very good system for avoiding the spoiler problem. And it's, in my opinion, as a political scientist, it's a very hard system to game in that sense. It's hard to get an advantage by doing things that the voters are not aware of.
Betty?
Thank you. Betty Taylor, City Club member since 1990. I, as a person who has done a prolonged campaign, I'm certainly in favor of anything that makes it shorter. It's not good. It's not fun to run for almost a year. But my question is, would you have a different filing date? If you still file in September, it still makes a long campaign.
And that's I think that's a great point. You know, in terms of the way we structured this reform, we're only changing the elections chapter in the county charter. And so I would suggest that there would be either rulemaking or work at the legislature level that could shift that around if there is only one election. But in terms of, yeah, I mean, to your point, you've obviously been in this in that election game over and over and over again. And you think about City Council Ward 1 last time, where you have City Council, to make our city councilors campaign for a year for what is often a thankless job that they do of their own goodwill, I think is a horrible thing. So if we can shorten up those cycles, it's to me, it would be all to the good.
Paul Thompson, a City Club member for some time. This question is addressed to all three of you, but before I ask the question, I want to ask a question of the audience, and that is, could I have a show of hands of the number of people who feel they could defend the mathematics of this and explaining it to a person who didn't already understand? Okay, about half.
Wow.
About half of the people. So interpret that half, map that into the voting populace and see whether you think that would affect your enthusiasm for the measure.
Any response?
Well, I'll say the first thing that pops into my mind is this isn't a very diverse group. So even if you all would have raised your hands, I would have been like, eh. So that's what I have to say.
There's no question in my mind that to understand this system, there has to be repetition and education. So you'd have to plan for voters to be educated ahead of the first election, and it would take time for them to get used to it. There's no doubt in my mind, and that's what they do when they implement ranked choice voting, is they provision for voter education materials before you have that first election.
And I guess I was actually pleasantly surprised at the number of hands that went up and understood it from just some verbal descriptions of the system. When I actually first had a chance to pitch what was then called score runoff voting, now star voting, to the Our Revolution chapter, we did kind of a quick show of hands at the end, like saying, hey, how many people here understand this new system idea? And basically every hand went up. And to me, that speaks really to the fact that we're not introducing something that is fundamentally new in terms of kind of the user interface, right? The scoring, the notion of scoring, is something that I think a lot of people basically get. the little twist of the automatic runoff that says your full vote is going to go to whichever of the two highest scoring candidates you prefer, that takes a little bit to wrap your head around. But once people get it, they tend to actually really like that feature because it's a way of saying, oh, I can actually express secondary support without worrying that it's going to, you know, somehow make my first candidate lose in some predictable way. So that it's a twist, but it's a twist that's there for a reason.
So there's a woman named Pippa Norris that leads this research. I can't remember what university she's associated with, but it's sort of this electoral integrity score that every country gets around the world. And one of the things I learned in researching this was that there are European countries that outscore the United States by a lot. And a lot of Americans don't realize that the two-party system that we're locked into is so bad because we just grew up with it. So part of that education is not only trying to sell people on this alternative, but to educate them that we're in line with Mexico, man. I mean, not that Mexico's bad, but like there are developing countries that we're at this, we have the same score in as far as our electoral integrity goes.
Could you explain electoral integrity?
So there are, I believe, 11 sets of questions that they, and I think they might actually use score voting. They do, because I looked into it when I was preparing for this. They use score voting to, so it's what type of voting system is used, gerrymandering. So the things that really ding the United States are gerrymandering, plurality voting, the two-party system. I think there were four that really dropped our score down, and I actually sort of wish I would have brought the book so I could crack open some of the fun little facts, but it is flooring. And so that's part of the education that needs to happen, I think.
Thank you very much. Jerry?
Jerry Diethelm, City Club member. This is more of a political question. Who wins and who loses in this attempt to change our system? I mean, only one election instead of two? $1 billion worth of advertising. I mean, what kind of forces do you see kind of operating against you in making this change?
So the goal of the system is to elect the candidate that best represents the electorate in that vote. The goal of star voting is to come up with whichever one is actually the most representative amongst all the candidates that are running. What vote splitting does in our current system is it says, well, if there are two similar candidates, then those two candidates are actually both much less likely to win. And that's one way that our current system produces non-representative outcomes. But in terms of like sort of who is going to support and who's going to oppose, what we found, you know, even talking to county commission candidates, talking to elected officials, the idea of getting the campaign over with in one shot is actually pretty appealing. And when we talk to people who are big money donors to campaigns, the idea of not having to go back into the wallet again in the general election is actually pretty appealing. So, you know, who will oppose one fair election? We'll see, I guess. Apathy? I don't know.
Well, I think
we'll find out.
The question may be, do you expect the advertising industry or the television industry or the people who benefit.
Oh, all the people who benefit from those things.
To mount opposition.
Well, I would be surprised if those guys are really raking it in on our county commission races to the point where they're going to jump in big time. But you know, to the point where we say, hey, you know, Lane County's rocking it out with star voting, and we love it, and it's time to, you know, take it to the rest of Oregon. That's where I would see us probably running into potentially some more organized opposition. But we'll see.
Thank you. Alan?
Yeah, quickly, he raised the issue of money in politics, and I wanted to say that that's a problem no matter what kind of system of voting you have. This is not going to solve it. It might mitigate it in some slight ways, like it gives an incentive for voters to actually look at candidates who are not the best funded because they have an opportunity to vote for them without destroying their chance to decide between two better funded candidates. So it may move in the direction of advantaging candidates who don't have a lot of big money. But money in politics is a whole nother problem that we have to solve, that this isn't going to solve all by itself. And it's going to be there no matter what kind of system you have.
Steve Robinson, charter city club member, Betty. my question, it's a sort of a a little bit of a compound question. One aspect of it is, what makes you think people won't be confused by having two different voting systems on the same ballot? Okay, you go to the general election and the county is this star voting and everybody else is on which one or the other kind of a vote. So it's like you've got two things going on at the same time. Is that not going to confuse people? And sort of along with that, I'm wondering if there might be a way of testing the system in a situation that's not like that, where there's only one type of ballot being used, one type of system being used, so that you get a similar kind of result.
Great question, Steve. A couple of thoughts. One is that other places that have implemented alternate voting systems, San Francisco, Minneapolis, they have this same issue where they're running ranked choice voting on some offices and using plurality voting for the rest of them. Robin, do you know if there are any research reports that say whether they understand, whether that's an issue of concern in those scenarios?
Ranked choice voting, but it could be one of the reasons they are confused.
Gotcha. And then the second point, in terms of actually trying it out when star voting is the only way to use it, the only option on the ballot, we actually did that for the first time in the Whitaker Community Council elections this last year. So it has been used in what can be very contentious elections. I don't think it was this time around. But our team did an exit poll survey, and 100% of the respondents said they either liked it a little bit more or a lot more than the way that we vote right now. So if you want to try out star voting for, hey, where are we going to go get lunch? There is an online web app at the website star.vote. You can create your own election. You can put 5 restaurants on there, send it to your friends, try it out, see which one, see the decision-making process in action. So we are going to put tools out, well in advance of the election so people can actually experience the system before they have to vote on it.
John Dolan, City Club, and that kind of answers one of my questions, is how are you going to introduce this? How do the people in office feel about this right now? Have you heard from them at all about it?
Well, right when we were getting started, I actually talked to the sitting county commissioners, and all of them expressed some level of either, curious skepticism all the way up to full-on support. And I've talked to a number of other elected officials. We're anticipating that we'll have a number of endorsements for this, but obviously folks were waiting until after the primary elections to make their positions known. So I think stay tuned is sort of the answer to that question.
I have data. So one thing that I think is really interesting, well, it depends on who the candidate is and how popular they are among the masses. But an example is that in one of the mock votes that we did, elections, Trump won with the current system because it doesn't capture all of the hate for him, all the dislike. It doesn't capture all of the zeros if it were score. So with this one that we did, Trump won when it was the standard plurality system. Cruz won when it was score voting because it also captured the humongous stack of zeros that Trump got that was not reflected with the current system. It's sort of like plurality, the current voting system, is almost like you can only see the fives and you can't see any of the zeros over here. So people like Trump won't want score voting. So I just wanted to add that.
Randy Prince, the program coordinator, and I have from the audience a request, not so much a question, but just for a review. Last spring, a while back, we had the program on ranked choice. This is the program on star, then automatic recount. So if we could have, to finish off the program, sort of step by, what exactly is it? The nuts, so people are clear, the differences and similarities between the two, if you could, a test of how concise they're clear you can be.
You mean the difference between star voting and ranked choice voting?
That's correct.
Okay. I'll take a crack at this, but I also like to say we have a website where you can go for further information, which is starlane.us. Starlane, starlane.us, so you can go for more information. I worked on ranked choice voting for about 10 years or so, mostly here in Oregon, a little bit in California when I was there. And the main difference is, okay, I'll pick three of them to give you in order of ascending importance, okay? So the first one is on a ranked choice ballot. You rank the candidates in your order of preference, and on a star ballot, you score each candidate, okay? One advantage is that in ranking candidates, you can't show distance between candidates. Like, I like this one as my first choice, and this is my second choice. But in score voting, you can say, this is my first choice, but my second choice is way down here, okay? In scoring, you can also give two candidates the same score if you like them equally. So first of all, the difference between ranking and scoring. Second difference is that in ranked choice voting, the process they use is to first count everybody's first choice. If there's a majority, that person wins. But if there's not a majority for any of the candidates, you take the candidate who got the least first place votes, they're eliminated, and the ballots that originally went for them go to their second choice. So only the ballots that have candidates eliminated, and this is candidates who had very few first choice votes, have their further preferences counted. Not everybody's second or third choice counts. It's just the ballots in which your first choice candidate didn't count. Whereas in star voting, all your preferences have some impact on the outcome. Everyone you gave a score of 5 or 4 or 3, all those numbers have an outcome, have a weight in the outcome. Finally, because there's a process of a candidate elimination in the rounds of ranked choice voting, that is, you can potentially have multiple rounds of instant runoffs. It's not really an instant runoff, it's instant runoffs with an S on the end. Whereas with star voting, there's always only two rounds. First, which two candidates got the highest overall scores, and then second, the instant runoff is actually just a majority pick between those two candidates using the same ballots. So there's always only two rounds, and it's much easier to explain the results to the voters after the fact than in an instant runoff rank choice, where there could potentially be a large spreadsheet of how many candidates were eliminated and where their votes went.
Thank you. Before we thank our speakers today, there are a few quick announcements. First, thank you to public radio station KLCC 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Monday evening at 6:30, and the Community Television of Lane County, cable channel 29, for televising recent City Club events. Next week, join us Friday, June 8th, for our presentation of the annual Turtle Awards, hosted by John Van Landingham, with awards this year going to Tom Bowerman and Eric and Faye DeBurr. More details and information about future City Club programs can be found online at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. Now let's thank today's speakers, Mark Frohmeyer, Alan Zundel, and Robin Quirk. Thank you. Great program, and that concludes today's program. Thank you, folks.